the English Martial Arts Podcast Show.
The Habbo radio station everyone loves.
I love them a lot.
Hello and welcome to the English Martial Arts Podcast Show. I know it's been a while since I've released one, but I've been doing other things. I've been concentrating on my YouTube channel lately, trying to get more videos out, showing what we do, and hopefully getting more people interested in actually learning the martial arts of Old England. What my aim is over the next couple of years is to try and attract more people so that we can expand and open more clubs. Now, a lot of people have interested or are interested, but they do other martial arts as well. So their martial journey is three or four different kinds of martial arts. But mine is to promote the one martial art that I do. The one martial art that I think is effective in all situations, whether it be weapons or unarmed. And that's where I've been headed over the last weeks and months. So really, expanding and getting more students is my main aim for the future. What I really want to do is push on with the weapons and the unarmed so that whoever comes to us gets a well-rounded education in the martial arts or the martial art that they're learning so that they can cope at all ranges, learn about the all-important principles, the principles that lead the system, and carry on a tradition that's been around for a couple of thousand years. Now, at the moment, our club is in Boreham Wood, right next to the old Big Brother house. But it may be after Christmas, we're moving to a new club in St. Albans. Now, St. Albans is a beautiful place, and the place we'll be training in is an 600-year-old barn. It even has a witch's stone inside, and it's big enough to train all weapons and unarmed. It's going to be a really, really good training place because it's old, like our martial art and like most of us, and it will be such a good place to train in that we think many people will like it. In fact, all people will like it. The only thing is there's no heating in there because it's such an old place and you can't really mess around putting central heating into a 600-year-old barn that's built on top of a Roman ruin or temple because, you know, you'd hurt it, you'd ruin it. Now, hopefully, when we get into the barn and where we are now, we are teaching a number of weapons that most HEMA clubs and Western martial arts don't teach, such as the billhook, the spear, you know, all kinds of weapons that other HEMA clubs and Western martial arts clubs and even Oriental martial arts clubs don't teach. Because what we teach is a yeoman's art rather than a nobleman's art. You know, although we do use swords, so we have long sword and we have sword and buckler, sword and dagger, sword single, falchion, etc. And, you know, but most of what we teach is the art of the yeoman, maybe the peasantry. And very, very effective it is too. So anybody who wants to can come along and experience these weapons, as well as the old pugilism, the original old pugilism that we teach. Now, I don't really have a main topic for this particular podcast, although I've got a few planned out. I don't write scripts. I just have, you know, a few bullet points that remind me to talk about certain things. I haven't even got that for this podcast. But what I will do is talk about the most important part of training in any martial arts, and that is having a sound set of principles and training the mind. Because training the mind is as important, if not more important, than the physical techniques. Simply because it's the mind that controls everything you do, how you react to day-to-day things and things that are not day-to-day things. Now, let me explain one thing. When you come into a physical confrontation or you get involved in something like that, you have what's called an adrenaline dump. Now, this affects your body and your mind, okay? It prepares you for the fight, flight, or freeze, which is the natural survival instinct of most animals, humans included. And you've got to avoid being controlled by that. So you need to train yourself to take control of your body and use that adrenaline rather than allowing it to make you shake like a leaf and run, etc. You've got to be able to control that dump, that adrenaline dump, so that you can react properly. Now, if you can control that, you can control the way you move and think, which means you're going to be using that adrenaline dump as a way to make you better, because it does make you faster and it does make you stronger. So if you've got an instructor that can help you channel that adrenaline dump into an extra tool in your self-defense arsenal, you're on to a winner. And controlling an adrenaline dump is a very difficult thing because it takes over. Yeah, that fight, flight, or freeze phenomenon that you experience takes over. That shaking that you feel takes over. So you've got to be able to control that. And one of the ways is through breathing. So it can keep you a lot calmer and it can allow you to use the adrenaline that floods your system. And we're not going to go into how to do it on a podcast. If you want to know that, come and train. But it is a very, very valid technique to use to help control the adrenaline when it floods your body in a confrontational time or at a confrontational time, because you can't help but, I wouldn't say suffer, but you can't help but have that adrenaline dump when you are confronted by a person or persons who want to commit physical violence to you. So, but learning to control it is a major, major thing. Now, remember, it doesn't matter how long you've been training. Okay, you could be training for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And when you get into a physical confrontation, that adrenaline dump could make you feel like you're a coward and you'd leg it or get beaten up because you can't control that. So you really need to put work in on training the mind as well as the body, because it really is the most essential thing next to the principles, or a sound set of principles that a fighting system abides by. So when looking for an instructor, make sure that they address that side of your training as well as just the physical, because if they don't, then they're not a fully trained or qualified instructor. They need to up their knowledge of physiology so that they can help you overcome certain fears, if I can put it that way, in your life, and help you control certain things that happen, such as the adrenaline dump and understanding principles about a fighting system. So always make sure that you question your instructor first. Don't worry about what the colour belt is around his waist or sash or how convincing they are when they talk, okay? Just make sure that you ask the right questions, and if you don't get the right answers, then you know that the person that you're talking to isn't really a valid instructor, because they're not addressing both physical and mental aspects of your training, which is oh so important. But also, when you do go to learn a martial art, always, always question your instructor. I mean, in days gone by, instructors were known by reputation, that they could do this, that they could do that, and that a lot of their students were famous as well because they passed on pure martial training, not only took in both the body and mind, but also became a way of life. Some martial artists still live like that today. I do. It's a way of life for me. But a lot of people don't. So if you are looking for an instructor, make sure that you ask them loads of questions first. Doesn't matter if it's by email or phone or face-to-face. Ask them questions. If they can't answer them, then they don't deserve to be your instructor. Once again, make sure that when you search for a martial art, it trains both body and mind, has a good philosophy and a sound set of principles that they train by. Thank you for listening to the English Martial Arts Podcast Show, and I hope you'll tune in next time. And please subscribe and leave comments on iTunes for me, please. It all helps me. Thank you very much.
Listen to us, because we listen to you.